God bless you for being here with us today. We give God the glory, and we give God the praise and the honor, for all of it is due His name. Really and truly. Today I want to continue a mini-series within a series which we started 2 weeks ago. The Devil is a Lie, Part 2. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 1115. Since January the 20th, 2017, day 1418 since January the 1st, 2016. Please turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Through 37, as the old saints used to say, pray for my strength in the Lord. I guess because I preach so much, I'm beginning to lose my voice a little bit. So pray for this preacher. The Word of God reads, in Matthew chapter 12, everyone standing, out of respect for the Word of God. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. How many of you know the devil will mess you up? And he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. The devil will make you blind and will make you a person who does not communicate well. And you will find that people who are demon-possessed living today, they don't communicate well. They might be able to speak, but that demon deep down on the inside of them prevents them from speaking. This is why so many marriages and families are destroyed, because the devil specializes in breaking down communication and causing people not to be able to see not only afar off, but right in front of them. This is why you need a prophet in the land, because you must remember that prophets used to be called seers. Seers, S-E-E-R-S. But people who are demon possessed, they won't even listen to the seers. They won't even listen to the prophets. And we have people like this in our churches across this country and around the globe. People who are religious, but they have a devil like Judas. And they are blind and dumb. And some are deaf. They can't hear the Word of God. They can hear jam, jam, boogie music. They can hear the Eagles, Hotel California, and bob their heads. They can listen and hear Kiss, Kings in Satan's Service, but they can't hear the Word of God. They act like they can't hear the Word of God. And see, when you hear the word of God, then what we mean by that is that you will do the word of God. Isn't it strange how that you can be raised in church? Right here. Is it on one? Isn't it strange how that you can be raised in church? And you've heard the hymns all your life, but you can't remember them, but you can remember a song from hell and from the devil. The first time you listen to it, it just stay with you. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doeth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I, by Beelzebub, Satan, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoso speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for the earlier time of worship and prayer and reading your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And now, Holy Father God, we give you the glory, praise, and honor for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We praise you and we thank you for your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for salvation full and free through him. We acknowledge that we're weak, but Lord, we know that you're strong. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would continue to have mercy upon each and every one of us who name the name of Christ, and please forgive us of all of our sins as we from our hearts by your grace forgive those who have sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh afresh and anew, and the old man within us afresh and anew. Help us to die to self daily. Fill each and every one of us with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant me your special unction and anointing of your Holy Spirit from on high. And Lord, we pray that you will indeed cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness, the demonic spirit of Sanballat and Tobias, and of hindrance of your work, your holy word from going forward in your holy gospel. And Lord, I pray that you lead me and guide me and direct me through this message and all that you would have me to say. And Lord, help me to end at the time you want me to end, for we have so much to say today. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost and revive those who are saved. Help us all who claim to be saved to humble ourselves, to pray and to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to get back to you, our first love, Lord Jesus, and to get back to our first works. For your glory, praise, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. D.A. Carson said, the coming of God's reign either demands repentance or brings judgment. And that is so true. In our last message in this series, this mini series within a longer series, we began looking at how Jesus revealed the root cause of his conflict with the world and particularly the Jewish leaders. The root cause: opposition against Jesus Christ from the time when he walked the earth to the present day is driven by Satan, the devil. And the opposition that you receive while you're serving Jesus Christ comes from ultimately the devil. He may use a human being, things and circumstances, but ultimately the devil is your main problem as you serve Christ. In your marriage, in your family, in every area of life, if you have made a sincere commitment to Jesus Christ, and you have chosen to serve him, the devil is going to fight you every inch of the way. And this is why so many people who make a profession of faith run away. They can't stand that opposition. But it's there and it's not going anywhere. By way of introduction, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says, He gave a strong warning to those moving away from him. Understandably, some would not comprehend who Jesus is. A divine person living among men would naturally not be appreciated fully. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that strange? But that's how it is. And if you have Jesus living on the inside of you, I don't care what you do, you're going to have family members, friends, and neighbors who are going to treat you differently. You can try to fit in, you can try to be a part of the gang and try to compromise all you want to. If you have Jesus living on the inside, they're going to know that there's something different about you that they don't like. That was why allowances for such actions were made. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But while the person of Jesus was not fully comprehended, the power evidenced through him should never have been misunderstood, especially by religious leaders, the Jewish religious leaders. And that's how it is today, sad to say. The biggest problem in America is so-called religious leaders. You want to point the finger, listen to me very carefully, at who has caused this plague, who's responsible? Church leaders, religious leaders, have messed this country up by trying to compromise God's word. Major denominations, major churches, have failed God and have gone against the plain teaching of the word of God. Religious leaders, like the Jewish leaders when Jesus was here, who know better. See, only Christian people, only truly born again people or religious people know the consequences of sin and how God works and how that God will give you space to repent, how that God will give you an opportunity to judge yourself that you be not judged. And just because, as Solomon talked about, a judgment or punishment does not come immediately, does not mean God is going to let you get by with it. See, the presidents don't know that. That's why prophets must tell them that and must warn them. If you persist in going against God's word and persist in your own adultery and fornication and allowing it to happen in your church, if you're going to persist in having a girlfriend on the side or a boyfriend on the side and your wife got a girlfriend on the side and you all have an agreement, you have a wicked agreement to have sex with your wife's assistant, to have sex with your husband's assistant, and all other such ungodliness and foolishness, but not with each other anymore. And you agree to this diabolical scheme. And your name is on Ashley Madison, using another name and all this kind of foolishness. And see, when that happens, then it's easy for you to compromise with President Obama and President Trump and politicians to say, okay, y'all want to push this homosexual agenda, which Beelzebub is behind. You all insist on doing it, we'll back you up. We'll prepare our churches for this. But remember now, protect our churches. It doesn't work that way, people. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I've been trying to tell you for the past 10 years or more that compromise that you made will not work. It has not worked. And is not going to work. Because there are some abominations and some sins you can't even begin to understand how wide and how broad they become in their destruction. You can sow the wind, but reap the whirlwind. The problem today in America and in the world, because America leads the world, is hypocritical, phony, false prophets and preachers who are more concerned about money and a house and a car and some clothes and prestige and power more than proclaiming the word of God. They would rather compromise with the world and betray Jesus like these religious leaders in Jesus' time. Those who should have been most supportive. He got more support from the common people who never been to seminary, never been to Bible college. They believed in him. But these religious hypocrites, immediately, and they will do you the same way, immediately, without hesitation, say he's performing these miracles by the power of the devil. Now how can you get from this wonderful miracle that Jesus did on this man and casting out the devil? And Jesus helped him to understand that don't make any sense, but immediately, no credit to the power of God. Immediately they said he's doing it by the power of the devil, Beelzebub. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the nation, because of its leaders, as it is today, you want to point the finger at somebody? Point the finger at our religious leaders. All of them, not just the liberal ones, but the so-called conservative ones. They know what they have done in the back rooms with the politicians so they can be invited to the Christmas party at the White House. They know what they've done. Black and white. And I don't care if you like it or not. It makes no difference to me. Black and white. Popular preachers, well-known preachers. They didn't want to listen to the prophet crying out in the wilderness, telling them, you cannot compromise on this issue. See, the homosexuals were already doing what they were doing. They were already punished for it. But here we got the church sanctioning homosexuality, homosexual marriage, which Lot never even heard of and would have never done. And the homosexuals adopting children, innocent little children, into this ungodly, demonic system and wickedness, turning them into homosexuals. And on top of that, priests and preachers raping little boys and little girls, destroying their souls, destroying their hearts and minds, turning them into homosexuals, causing them to hate God because a priest standing in the stead of God, a pastor standing in the stead of God, taking advantage of them and raping them, molesting them, suggesting ungodliness with them. And you think God's going to stand by and let you do that? I know you don't want to hear this message. I know you didn't come for this today. I know you want me to preach a nice little sweet message to make you happy and to shout you out of here and make you feel better. See, but you can't feel better. Listen to me very carefully. You know why some of you feel miserable and you don't feel better? I believe George Myers even dealt with it for some of you women. Because you have sin in your life. You have unconfessed, listen to me very carefully. I'm talking to Christians right now. Unconfessed sin in your life. You're doing stuff that you're not willing to confess, and you're doing stuff that you're not willing to repent of. You know you're wrong. See? You have no joy because you have sin that you refuse to repent of and get right with God and with others. So it's the religious crowd that has messed up America. See, the homosexuals, they were doing what they were doing. They were in the closet. And all I'm saying is stay in the closet. But the church cannot sanction these abominations. The government, another institution created by God for our good, cannot sanction that which God calls an abomination. And not, listen to me very carefully, people, because evidently you're not getting it. Not until the church, everybody in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, denounces the abomination of homosexuality and their own sins, their own abominations of committing adultery and fornication and homosexuality. Don't bow your head yet, it's not time to pray. And then leads the president and the government to stop sanctioning these abominations, my dear friend. The plague, is, as I told you over 100 days ago, is going to get worse. And the blood is dripping from the hand of not only the president, but first and foremost, the pastors, the preachers, the priests, of this country. Especially in America. Especially. That's why we're getting hit the hardest. The so-called greatest country on earth. We can't stop this. And it's getting worse. And now we're going to put we're going to sacrifice as they did in the old days. You're going to sacrifice your child to a coronavirus plague storm dropping hell, H-A-L-H-A-I-L, on top of the heads of your children? They're already getting sick. The schools have lied to you saying that they're going to be apart and so forth. One white girl who used a line from John Lewis who died, she said, I got into some good trouble because I took that picture. Everybody standing right side, but I told you. And then one lady, I want to say it was Michelle Singletary. She said that, you know, we all want our children to go to school and all that kind of thing, but now, you know, if you can't control your children at home, and make them put on a mask when you go to Walmart, and as soon as you turn around, they got the mask off, hanging on their neck and everything else. You know doggone well. They're not going to keep a mask on at school. They're going to take that off as soon as they see you drive off. That mask is coming off and going into the trash. And what are you going to ask them when they get in the car, when you pick them up? Where's your mask? Oh. It broke, it tore. Somebody snatched it off my neck. Somebody stole it, and all kind of lies. No, they're going to listen to me. They're going to take off that mask. They're going to kiss somebody on purpose. And whatever little circle you got drawn for them, they're not going to stay in it. They're going to all get in the same circle. Because they're just as devilish and as rebellious as you are. If not, and they probably got y'all beat. Meaning that you're more devilish than they are. because you out there and trying to get your groove on because you sick and tired of being stuck in the house. That's right, my dear friends, the pastors, the preachers, and the seminarians, the priests, all must bow their head, bow the knee, and repent before God of the foolishness that they have done. And if they, listen to me, if they don't do that and lead the government to do that, that's right, I said the government. See, in the Bible, the only somebody who's over the president is the prophet, the man of God. The president is not over the prophet. That's why the prophet cannot afford to be connected with politics and all that kind of foolishness. No, we don't preach up to the power that be. We preach down to the power that be. I'm telling the president that if he does not cause the government to stop sanctioning homosexual marriage and homosexuality and all that foolishness, if he doesn't change that around, the plague is not going anywhere. I don't care what kind of vaccine you get. And millions are going to die. And the blood will drip from your fingers. The blood will drip more so from the fingers of the preachers, the pastors, the evangelists, the so-called prophets, and priests living today. And churches will be done away with. And that's what's happening right now. That's why you can't go to your church, and you should not go to your church. I don't care what the pastor tells you to do. It's not wise to go to your church, because this plague is against, first and foremost, the church. All of your fake religion has not pleased God. All of your compromise, you smart pastors and preachers, thought you had it going on with your new innovations. God is not pleased with it, and he shut it all down. And the only reason why some pastors are out there talking about the church must stay open, the church is essential, and we all know the church is essential. The church can roll on and has rolled on without a building. Your building is not essential. Meeting together in a building is not essential, especially in this day and time, when many, many thousands have died from church pews already. The only reason why they're doing that is because they feel like they're losing power over the people, or they're losing money over the people, from the people. They're not doing it for pure reason, because they know better than anybody. The church rolls on with a building or without a building very well, more better than any other institution. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the nation, because of its leaders, was on the brink of making a decision that would bring irreversible consequences. And that is what I believe has happened in America. I believe that God is allowing a light plague and going slow with it to give you an opportunity to repent. Because God would rather bless us, and he has done so for many years. And he was very, very patient with us, long-suffering. He had me warning you for the past 10 to 12 years about this, that this day was coming. And so it took that long, that I know of, for him to even have the plague to come down upon us. And because we refused to repent, which I said at the beginning of the plague, the church is not in a repenting mood. I said that over 100 days ago. Of course, America's not. There are people right now jam, boogie, boogieing right now out on boats and yachts and out in the pools and at clubs. I mean, the Los Angeles mayor had to threaten that we're going to cut your water off and cut your electricity off if y'all keep on holding these parties. People are just trying to, people are just flying in the face of God with it being predicted over 300,000 people could be dead by the 1st of December. And then it's going to double. And before you know it, it's going to be a million. At what number will you take notice and quit your foolishness, your stubbornness, your pride, your jam boogie mentality? They were about to attribute incorrectly, wrongly, to Satan the power of the Holy Spirit of God exercised through Jesus Christ, and thus to commit blasphemy, my God, help us, against the Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this specific sin cannot be reproduced today. That's what Dr. Walford and Dr. Zook believe. I'm not too sure, but I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case. Because they said that it required Jesus' presence on earth with his performing miracles through the Spirit's power, the Spirit of God, and his power. If, however, the leaders acting on behalf of the nation concluded that Jesus was empowered by Beelzebub, the prince of devils and demons, Satan, they would commit a sin that would never find national or individual forgiveness. In this age or in the age to come, do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why I say to my brethren, Dr. Walford and Dr. Zuck, and their great team, I'm not too sure that people can't do that today. I hope to God they can. But I'm not too sure. Some people are so devilish, they'll go right to it and say something against the Holy Spirit of God. There's some people who are so devilish, they'll lie on God in that way. I don't know what that is, but lying on God is not good. The consequences would bring about God's judgment on the nation and on many individuals who persisted in that view. The contrasts Jesus made between the good tree and its fruit and the bad tree and its fruit demonstrated the choices. Jesus condemned the Pharisees as a brood of vipers who could never say anything good. Why? Because their hearts were evil. Have you ever been around people like that? You got some in your family. They never say anything good. They never give you a pat on the back. They never say a word of encouragement. It's always bad. It's always negative. You know why? Because they have evil hearts. They have evil hearts. They can't bring it forth. They're always negative. Have you ever been around folks like that? Sure you have. And always negative. They never have anything good to say about God, Jesus, or you. That's why I believe many people in the church, including religious leaders, have a devil just like Judas. And I would add that I believe that many people, many preachers, pastors, evangelists, and so forth, whatever they call themselves, bishops, have a demon and they have the spirit of Judas, and they have betrayed Christ, and have sold the church down the river for years to come over the compromises that they've made over the past years, trying to go along to get along, trying to be popular in the community, popular in the district, popular in the state, popular in the nation, coveting an invitation to the White House. The problem is, if you don't play ball with the devil, you can't sit at the table. You don't compromise your principles, which they already know what they are. Then you can't be invited to the dance. People are responsible for all their actions and words, which will acquit or condemn them on the day of judgment. You will give an account of everything you do and everything you say. Ladies and gentlemen, one day when you stand before God, are you ready to stand before God? For the first time in our history, no, the first time in our lifetimes, we're all under the threat of death, the imminent threat of death. Every last one of us, young and old. A 7-year-old boy died in Georgia. The other day, from the coronavirus plague. And you can die today, you can die tomorrow. Some of you have the coronavirus plague and you don't even know it. There are some people who have died, they don't know what hit them, and they're dead, and they're in hell if they didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. So the question, dear friend, is, do you know him as your Savior? Are you ready to stand before God Almighty one day and give an account? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, who covers all of your sins? Do you know him? And dear friend, if you're with us today, and I have so much more to say, I have a full sermon. I just touched on a little bit of it today. If you do not know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, you need to repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from sin, from the power of sin, and the punishment of sin. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. You have broken God's Ten Commandments. Would you agree that you have lied before? Go ahead and nod your head right where you are. Would you agree that you've stolen stuff before? Go ahead and nod yes right where you are. Don't be proud. I'm talking about things like a pen from the job, some food out of the refrigerator on the job. I'm talking about your father's change jar, your sister's dress, getting it without permission. Stole things. Some of you have some contraband with you right now. Have you ever looked and lusted after somebody or something? Yes, you have. Just go ahead and nod your head right where you are. And go ahead and tell the truth and shame the devil. You have. In your heart, You've lusted after people and things. You've broken the Ten Commandments of God. Have you ever dishonored and disobeyed your parents? Sure you have. Just go ahead and nod your head, yes. You're guilty. You're guilty. Stop being proud. Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? And some of you have done it with cursing. May God have mercy upon the soul of some of these people in Hollywood who cursed the name of Jesus and cursed the name of God. You're guilty. You have sinned against God. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible talks about how that we all will die. Except the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Your body will die and be put into a grave or cremated and cast into the sea. Your soul will never die. It is the real part of you. Right now, you don't see the real me, you just see the house I live in. But you can hear the real me. It's my spirit. Those words are invisible, like my spirit, my soul. The soul will go somewhere forever, either heaven or hell. If you don't repent of your sins and trust Christ as Savior today, you will go to hell when you die. If you believe in Christ, then you'll go to heaven. But you have to do it in this life. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ, who preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible, any writer, any prophet, any preacher, He preached more on hell than He did about heaven. And when He described hell, He said, "It is a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." When He described hell, He said, "It's a place of weeping and wailing and grinding of teeth and pain in hell." Jesus knows a lot about hell because He created hell for the devil and his angels, as He says in the book of Matthew. He did not create hell for us. However, if we choose to be rebellious like the devil, proud like the devil, disobedient like the devil, act like the devil, love obeying the devil instead of God, you will go to hell with the devil. Hell is a terrible place. So much so that Jesus preached this sermon one day when He said in Matthew 18:8, "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee," let me show you how bad hell is. This is what Jesus said, "cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed." That is eternal life. It's better for you to go to heaven, halt or maimed, with one leg and one arm, one hand, rather than having two hands, which you parted hard with and jam, boogie, boogie, wick, and hugged people you were not married to and had sex with people you're not married to, or 2 feet that took you there to be cast into everlasting fire. That's how serious hell is, according to Jesus Christ. Now wait a minute, this is the same Jesus same meek and lowly Jesus, loving Jesus, who healed the sick, raised the dead, fed the hungry, walked on the water, told the wind to be quiet and the sea to sit down, and they did. This is the same Jesus. Do you know him? Because he's trying to get your soul saved from hell. He did everything he could. He is the God-man, Emmanuel, God with us. He suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He did everything he could do. Now, when you die for somebody, that's all. That's all. That's all. That's all that one can do. Jesus Christ, the God-man, God himself, came down off of his throne and loved us so much. The God-man, Jesus Christ, suffered, bled, and died, was humiliated before the world, and went through hell and went to hell for you and for me. That's love for you. My dear friend, that's love for you. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Do you know him? Have you believed on him? May I lovingly encourage you. I don't care what you got planned today. May I lovingly encourage you to get saved today. Believe on Christ today. Because hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you. Straight from the mouth of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. For he said, for God so loved the world. That includes you. If you're in this world right now, if you're looking at me, listening to me, you're in this world and God loves you. I don't care how you feel about yourself. I don't care what the devil feels about you. I don't care what your husband feels about you. I don't care what your wife feels about you. God loves you. Other folks may not love you, but God can see your need and love you and try to help you get that need taken care of, to be saved from the hell to come. So if you're in this world, God loves you. Even if you don't love yourself, even if you're thinking about committing suicide, as so many of you are, sad to say, don't do it, because more than likely you're going straight to hell to spend not just a few days, but forever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave up his only begotten son. His name is Jesus Christ. That whosoever, the word whosoever, dear friends, means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, educated and uneducated, rich or poor, makes no difference. Everybody's on level ground at the cross. Whosoever means anybody at any time. Red, yellow, black, and white. We're all precious in God's sight. We might not love one another, but God loves us all. That's love for you. Whosoever believeth. The word believeth means to have faith in. To simply just trust in your heart. You can't go and work for it. You can't build a house for somebody and get it. You can't go give money and give it and get it. You can't go and help somebody or some old lady who's moving out of her house because she's been evicted, all that. Those are nice, wonderful things, but they will not save your soul. Believeth, that's all. Believe in your heart in Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that according to the scriptures, he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. By the power of God. It's a free gift. You can't work for it. You don't have enough money to pay for it. And you never will. Nobody does. There's not enough money on earth to pay for what Jesus Christ did for us. Believeth in him. Nobody else. Not the Pope, not the Bishop, not the preacher, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Hare Krishna, not Confucius, and nobody else but Jesus. These other people are meaningless. Meaningless besides Jesus Christ. Believing in him should not perish. Means you will not go to hell, the hell that you deserve. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. He paid it all, the songwriter said. But have everlasting life. That is, when you die, when you leave this earth, you have reservations in a mansion in the sky. Yeah, I know you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it either, but take it. It's good. It's a free gift. Some of y'all worrying about a house down here. You got a mansion up in heaven if you just believe in Christ. On Gold Boulevard. Golden Light Boulevard. That's where your house is. Yes, don't miss it. Because the streets are paved with gold so pure. I can't get, I've been preaching this gospel for 40 years, over 40 years. I can't get over the streets of gold, man. Gold so pure you can see right through it. I wouldn't miss that for the world. I would go to heaven just to see that. If I were you, I would get saved just to see those streets so pure you can see right through them. The Bible calls them as transparent glass. That's beautiful. You've never seen anything like that down here. So, dear friend, get your eternal life insurance policy squared away. It's already paid for. I didn't pay for it. I don't have enough money. You didn't pay for it. You don't have enough money. God paid for it. Jesus Christ paid for it in his precious blood. And it is signed in his blood. All you have to do is believe in him. Trust in him. Have faith in him. That's it. Do that right now. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for your sins. Was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. So call on his name, pray and ask him to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. I'm telling you, you're going there. I know you don't believe it, just like some of you people don't believe there's a plague right now, even though thousands of people are dying a day. You don't believe there's a hell. I'm here to tell you, you better believe it. And you're going there if you don't repent and trust Christ as Savior. You can't go to heaven unless you are covered in the blood of Christ and made whiter than snow. Believe in Christ today. If you might be a little nervous about praying the sinner's prayer, that's okay. I will lead you in prayer. You just believe in your heart in Jesus Christ right now. Follow me in prayer, phrase by phrase. And mean it from your heart. Let's pray together. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. Lord, I did nod my head. Yes, I did commit those sins. I have done those sins in your sight. And Lord, you know I've done many more than that. For Jesus Christ's sake, please, your Holy Son, have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins and all of my transgressions. Forgive me for breaking your Ten Commandments. as I now believe with all of my heart, in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. Lord, the best way that I know how. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul from hell that I know I deserve, just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins, past and present. Help me to turn from my evil life and my evil ways, to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. A dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in what Jesus told you to do, believe in him. If you believed in your heart in Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And that passage of scripture is what the book, that's where we get the title from. So get that free of charge. Just download it and read it today. If you got saved today, even if you didn't get saved today, download it and read it. And is the other book up there, How to Be Saved from Hell, straight from the Bible? Okay, we have another book. If you have some questions about what it means to be saved, you can download free of charge the book from GospelLightSociety.com, our evangelistic site. The book titled How to Be Saved from Hell, straight from the Bible. You can download that book free of charge as well. So, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and to be the Christian that God wants you to be. Also, if you have a prayer request, if you're going through a difficult time, as so many people are, please email us that, email that to us rather as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer. I don't